Hello, I'm Pete, and welcome to the first podcast from the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show. The title of this is still a work in progress. For now, we'll call it the Snodcast. On this week's edition, we're talking National Sickie Day, our favourite words of the day that make us laugh. American politics featured heavily in our bloopers. We're remembering school pranks and international TV personality Tim Lovejoy's on the show. So over the past 7 days, we saw the end of January and the start of February, which means lots of bills. It's the most depressing time of the year, and Monday past was deemed National Sickie Day. Now, the guy, Hugh Robertson from the TUC, thinks it's all nonsense. He thinks it's just like bad hair day. Bad hair day happens all the time around here.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Anyhow, right, so National Sickie Day. Are you going to call in sick today, and what will your excuse be? I want to know. 91820010. She's gone 718. Good morning, Cool FM.
Hello, good morning, Pete.
How are you doing?
Not too bad. Well, I'm sick, very, very sick.
Now, what's wrong with you this morning?
I've got a touch of man flu.
Do you really?
Very, very bad.
Are you
I'm going to take the day off work. I just thought I'd let you know.
That's good. Are you holding your nose while you're making this phone call?
Oh, yes, definitely.
What's your name?
I'm Harry.
Harry, where do you work?
Harry, well, I can't tell you where I work.
All right, that's okay then. Well, Harry, no problem at all. Respect your man, Flu.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
I think Harry's man, Flu's just made up a wee bit.
What do you think? He didn't sound too sick, did he?
No, not at all. He wants to get in a wee bit of hardcore Fern and Philip a wee bit later on, I imagine. Right, also this morning, excuses for not doing your homework, kids. Now, we do say that an education is good and you should endeavour to do your homework at all times. But for whatever reason, you can't be bothered. We need a good excuse. 918-2010. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. You know the way you were looking like a good excuse for your homework not being done?
Yes.
Well, my granddad, he had sheep, and I would just say, like, one of the sheep was lambing.
One of the sheep's what, sorry?
It was lambing, because my granddad's first sheep lambed there last week.
Right.
Yeah, so I would just say that my granddad's sheep had lambed and he needed help and everything.
So what do you have to do? Go and help pull it out?
Yeah, sometimes.
So we discovered that National Sickie Day does exist for quite a considerable number of people who listen to the show. Now, those people who were off work sincerely did have to go and get medication, which led on to our favourite words of the day that made us laugh on the show this week.
So yesterday to the pharmacy department and it was rammed. Absolutely rammed. So there's lots of sick people, like properly sick people about, so I hope you all get better soon.
Well, I'll tell you something, I just love that word rammed. That word rammed makes me laugh. That could be a good word. Have we used that yet for word of the day? Rammed.
I think we talked about it once, but I don't know if we actually did. A minute.
Rammed. Makes me laugh.
No, carbuncle, Shatner, wiener, flapjack, blurb, bush, pop, rhubarb, beaver and shuttlecock.
Remember, the word that makes us laugh today is on each and every morning following news at 8. The word that makes us laugh today is brought to us by Andrea, who says today's word, Pete, has to be lubricant. Talking of news, American politics featured heavily this week.
John McCain's received a boost in the battle to become the Republican candidate for US president. The senators won Florida's primary election, beating his main rival Mitt Romney. Ex-New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani finished third, despite concentrating his efforts on the poll.
Well, we had a bumper edition of the news at 8 o'clock there. I think we're going to win an award for that.
Well, worst.
Maybe.
News
maybe.
Reading.
Well, it's not the worst news report we've ever,
it's not the worst one
we've ever put together. Like, you know,
no.
But it'd be up there. Yeah, in top 10.
Yeah.
We're counting them down. At number 3, the 5th of February last year. At number 2, the 10th of December this year. I'm picking these actual dates randomly.
Randomly.
You wouldn't have, no.
No.
Now, we had another cracking blooper there on this morning's News 8. Theresa, my good American friend, how are you?
Oh, Theresa.
And yourself?
Very well, thank you. We were talking, we were talking American politics there.
Oh, yes.
Have you got a view on American politics?
Do I?
Yeah, what about Hillary? Do you want Hillary to win?
I'm not quite sure of Hillary. McCain's a good choice.
Is he?
I'm afraid Hillary will get in there and not look after the America as well as McCain would. Anybody but Obama, though?
She couldn't be any worse than Bush, could she?
No. Nobody can be as worse as
him. I'm not getting into politics because it's not really my forte, I have to say.
McCain's only 3% fat as well, aren't they?
Right, now, did I pronounce your man's name correct?
You were close, Pete. Kirsty was way off.
I hadn't read that story until that moment, right, I didn't know it was coming up.
We're coming to it in a wee second, but hold on. Did I say Giuliani?
Giuliani, yeah, you did say it pretty well.
Did I?
But you have to use it.
Sorry, finish the sentence,
it was just a wee bit of the self-appreciation society. So, I did say it right, yes?
Yes, you are right.
Yeah, get in, okay. Right, and so, Teresa, let us hear how it's pronounced, and then we will play back how Kirsty pronounced
it.
No. It's Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani. Okay, this is what happened, for those of you who have just joined us, in our 8 o'clock news bulletin.
John McCann's received a boost in the battle to become the Republican candidate for U.S. president. The senators won Florida's primary election, beating his main rival, Mitt Romney. Ex-New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani finished third.
Thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome. Bye.
There you go.
Bye.
Cheers, Teresa.
Stop it.
Now, who was involved in the presidential race in America?
New York's ex-mayor.
Yeah, well, what's his name?
Rudy.
Okay, and who else was involved in that story?
John McCain.
Who was it, sorry?
John McCain.
John McCain's received a boost in the battle to become the Republican candidate for U.S. president.
Florida's
She's getting the best.
Stop it.
His main rival, Mitt Romney. Ex-New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani finished third.
Still to come on this week's Snodcast, Tim Lovejoy in conversation. On TV this week, there was a rerun of one of my all-time favourite movies, Weird Science. On watching it for what must be the 100th time, I noticed one of the lead characters, Wyatt, wearing something that I hadn't seen in years. A calculator watch. Do you remember them?
Vaguely, yeah.
Do you remember a calculator watch? And where did they ever disappear to? They were ingenious. Your digital clock and below it that had a full calculator. And I remember being in school whenever we were really younger and some people who were lucky enough to have one going, oh, these are going to be great. Wait till the maths exam, I'm going to be brilliant.
Then he had to take them off.
Yeah, he had to take them off going in. But calculator watch, right? Which made me think to myself, there must be other wee items like that. Now, we're not talking about sweets, but wee items like that in the past that you sort of, well, you would think fondly of, or you wish.
And you sort of think they would have lasted a bit longer. They sort of disappeared, and that'd still be quite useful.
Indeed, definitely, especially if you don't have a mobile phone. But then who doesn't have a mobile phone?
Yeah, you see, that's it. Everything's on your mobile now.
So, if there's wee things like that there, wee nostalgic items that you sort of think to yourself, wow, I would love if they were back again, or to bring back some really fond memories or whatever, do give us a call, 9182-0010.
Sorry, guys, do you remember the watches that had the remote controls on them?
No.
I used to get a watch that was like an infrared remote control.
And what, you could turn over the TV channel? Who had one?
A guy used to go to school with had one.
Did he?
And we used to get the bus. We used to have the chains of the bus in the centre of town. They used to stand outside Radio Random. Radio Random used to be at the bottom of Royal Avenue in Belfast.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
He used to stand outside with the watch. I kept on turning all the channels over and the staff inside used to go mental.
Do you know what? I actually remember these watches now, and it reminds me of a friend of mine called Johnny Murphy, and he's probably listening to the show this morning. He works up in David Murphy 2 and brackets up and carried off. And Johnny Murphy had one of these, right, in school. I remember now. And I remember in an English class or something like that there, or maybe RE or something, and we had to watch videos. And we used to turn over the TV channel and stuff whenever the teacher turned his back or stopped the video player. It was hilarious.
These were great crack, mate.
I'll speak to you later.
Oh,
yeah. Bye, mate. So hilarious. Which has made me think about pranks that you used to do at school. Now, the kids aren't up yet. They're not in school the after sort of 8 o'clock this morning. So if you have any pranks you used to do in school, I would love to know about them this morning. I have just got a ghost out of the closet from Kirsty. It was a bit of a raker at school.
You can't repeat that.
Oh, dear. Right, now.
Kirsty
went to Glenola Collegiate in Bangor, right? And she used to do something on her French teacher in class. right? Now, Kirsty, you got to own up at this stage of the game. You got to tell everybody in Northern Ireland what you used to do to your French teacher whilst you were in French class.
I never actually got into trouble for this. Nobody ever actually pulled me up. It was the one thing I did that I didn't
What was your French teacher called?
No, I'm not. There's no way.
What was she called?
No,
no. 918-2001, you can phone up and give Kirsty a good telling off.
She doesn't work there anymore.
Well, that's okay. Now, what did you used to do to your French teacher? Come on.
Right, okay. Well, she used to... She used to wear a lot of makeup.
Right.
She'd be like really thick. Okay, so do you remember the old pencil?
Caked on was the term that was used a couple of minutes ago.
I did not.
Yeah, loads of it. Slapped on her. Slapped on her. Caked on it was.
Anyway, do you remember the pencil cases that were like wee tins?
Yes.
And they're quite shiny on the inside.
Yes.
Well, I used to sit by the window and get the sun to reflect off my pencil case just a wee bit onto your face to try and melt
the makeup.
Caked on.
Did it ever drip onto the floor?
Not that I saw.
Okay. Now, if you were Kirsty's French teacher, what year was this in?
Oh, I couldn't remember. Can't remember that.
And if you remember and recall that, do feel free to give us a call. And you can tell Kirsty off. 724. Right, hello?
Oh.
Hello?
We're talking now about pranks at school.
Mm.
Whenever we were at school, we had a technology teacher. He was also a woodwork teacher. And he was called Chatty Conveniently. And there was this one day, he kept us in at lunchtime, because we wouldn't get our lunch, you know, he kept us in to do coursework. So we had a wee back room, and he kept his lunch in it. And do you remember the wee glue guns that he used to get? The wee ones that had the stick of glue on them, and they heated them up?
Yes.
Well, we glued his sandwiches to the bottom of his lunchbox, and glued his lunchbox shut just to get him back for keeping us his lunch.
That is so cruel. We do not recommend kids you do any of these things at school or at home. Thank you for your call. Now, Jamie Oliver's new show, At Home with Jamie, has given us a laugh in recent weeks, and it did once again this week.
Last week, Jamie was talking about rabbits.
I've spent 2 years now growing beautiful organic vegetables, no chemicals, nothing like that. Not just for me, but for the restaurant in London as well. And I've got a problem with Mr. Rabbit. Mr. Rabbit, who's very cute and lovely, is wading through all of my veg every single night, causing a whole load of damage and eating all our gear. And I do have a problem with Rabbit doing that, and I don't have a problem with Rabbit on my plate. So I'm going to get my togs on, and I'm going to go and get some rabbits. And if I see a hare, I'll get one of those as well. Fingers crossed.
And he did remind us of one particular person.
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits. Now I got you, you wittable rabbit. I told you I'd get you, didn't I? Fell for my trap, didn't you, Mr. Rabbit? Too smart for you, wasn't I? I finally caught you, didn't I? Uh-oh.
Time with the...
Elmer Fudd. And Jimmy Oliver.
Yeah, and Jimmy did catch rabbits.
He did.
And he did make a nice stew.
And he did kill them. Dun, dun, dun. Now, what's on tonight's exciting episode of Jamie at Home? What's he going to be talking about tonight? Surely there's going to be some sort of cheap laugh we can get from this.
Hello, girls. How are you?
Well, there's the first one. What a chat-up line. Right, Jimmy, how do you approach women?
Hello, girls. How are you? Thank you for my eggs. To make the best pastry in the world, there's two things. Ingredients, beautiful organic eggs, good quality flour, incredible butter, you know, unrefined sugar, etc., etc., and technique, getting it made properly and efficiently. So that's what I'm going to be working on today, and I'm going to make a whole load of lovely dishes. I want to give you a really reliable recipe for a short crust pastry. I'm going to do one sweet... So, you know, lovely fruit tarts and stuff like that. And one savoury, things like quiches, etc. The recipe I'm using is based on the one my mum did, Mrs. Beaton did, my great-grandmum did. And it's half fat to flour. Dead simple.
So does he have a good technique? Well, we'll find out tonight on the show. And one thing that Jimmy has in common with lots of blokes, he just loves...
Lovely fruit tarts and stuff.
Now, over the past couple of years, I have got addicted to watching Soccer AM on a Saturday morning. Now, one of the guys responsible for making the show such a success is Tim Lovejoy. He now presents a Sunday morning TV show called Something for the Weekend.
He caught up with us on the show this week.
Indeed. Now, Tim, can I say first and foremost, I really do miss you in Soccer AM.
Oh, thank you. I was a genius on there.
No, I don't want to delve too much. Well, actually, I do want to delve too much.
Of course you do.
What's it like watching Andy Goldstein parade up and down the catwalk on a Saturday morning?
It's a hard one. It was my baby. It was my show. I absolutely loved it. The one thing that I think they possibly did wrong was let Andy do that, because it was kind of mine. And, you know, you're never going to get better than me at catwalking, are you?
Let's no way.
The king of the catwalk. No, but if I'm honest with you, I don't really watch it, because I used to produce it and write it, and I was involved in it so much. So it was, you know, I built it from the early days where it hardly had any viewers, and took it into sort of having a few million watch it or whatever. And I kind of find it hard now, because I watch it and I go, I wouldn't do that. So it annoys me. So I just sort of hang out with my kids on Saturday morning and do things like that.
Yeah, you're just right. Tell us this here, actually. How does it feel seeing so many of your guides and so much of the stuff that you actually wrote for the show still being used?
Well, it's good in a way, isn't it? It means it stands the test of time. Yeah, it's a compliment. I mean, what I love about the show is the things like the stuff that, you know, I'm not just me invented, the guys, you know, the whole team and Helen and everything invented things like the third eyes and the, you know, the showboating. And you know, I remember in a meeting once I said, we should do this skill item, right, where we get everyone, where we just take the best skills of the week and we should put it in. And I said, we should call it showboating. But this is, God's honest truth, showboating's a boxing term, not a football term. And this was like 8 years ago or something. And I had to go around the office going, if I had to say to you, a footballer's just done showboating, what would that mean to you? And everyone was going, skillful, you know, that's what it means. But it wasn't commonplace in football back then. And we sort of invented this item where every week they'd do showboating. And, you know, the other thing we did was the taxis and all those sort of things. And they became commonplace in football and football speak. And it was really nice. And I know the first showboat we ever did was a Zola one, where he passed the ball from behind his, I'm going to try and describe it on radio, which would be awful, isn't it? He put his left foot down and kicked it with his right foot, the classic behind the sort of foot kick thing. And I remember we used to try and find three a week, and it was quite hard. By the end, we had, you know, 30 a week. Everyone was doing skills. And I think the game has got so much more skillful, and the players were doing so many more tricks as the years went on. It was great to see that happen.
Well, I meant to say to you at the top of the interview, thank you so much for making me one of your MySpace friends way back about a year or so ago.
Oh, that's a pleasure. Yeah. It was great to have you on board.
Well, thank you. I'm just really disappointed I've had no personal message from you yet.
Well, there is 86,000 of you, so, sorry about that. But
Quick predictions for the football on Wednesday, since you are the football man. How do you think England will do?
I want England just to have a close... I want them to play good football, but only win 1-0. And the reason being that if we go and win 100-0, then everyone will get carried away. If we lose, everyone will be on Fabio Capello's back. I just want I want us to play great football, but only just edge the win, and then we can build on it. And because I think Fabio's going to be a great manager, that's what I'm hoping for.
Okay, and how do you reckon Northern Ireland will do against Bulgaria?
Oh, they'll win
6-0. Oh, yes! Now, obviously, you do a bit of cooking, obviously, on the show you do on a Sunday morning. What's this I hear about you getting a Michelin star?
I think I've got one in me. That's what, you know, I just pretend that I'm no good at cooking on that show. I think, you know, I'm learning enough now that I think I can possibly open up my own restaurant and get a Michelin star. You know, Simon's not got one as yet, even though his restaurants are very successful. He's got some great restaurants, actually. He's a brilliant chef, I've got to say. Top man, brilliant chef. So, I'm going to open up a restaurant soon, and food seems to be the way forward, you know. I've started eating every day now without fail.
Wow.
Can you play football, Tim, actually?
Yeah, I'm brilliant.
Right, okay. I was actually going to say, sure, if you can't play football, you might as well eat, because everyone can eat.
I slipped through the net. Did you not know that? I've always said this. I come from the Watford area. You know, I grew up around that area.
Elton John didn't have all this money to pump into the club back then, did he?
Yeah, no. I was saying that the scouting system's awful. And you know, Watford, they went through a stage recently where they had to buy back their own stadium and everything. And, you know, basically they missed out on me. They just think of the amount of money they'd have had when my transfer fee to Milan or somewhere, and they missed out on scouting me and getting me in the team. Idiots.
Right, before we go, favourite food?
My favourite food? Well, I'd probably go for some roast dinners, but Simon made beef Wellington recently, and I've got to say, I've never really had it apart from at school when it was horrible. And I just think that was the greatest thing he's made so far, so I'd go for that.
Cool. That's favourite night out?
Favourite night out. Do you know what? I like going to watch bands or going to watch football matches. Basically, I like to have a purpose to what I'm doing.
Amanda from Something for the Weekend or Helen Chamberlain?
Both. Why not? I'm on TV. I've got a reputation.
Favourite film of all time?
I'll go Slapshot. Paul Newman. He did an ice skating movie with the Hanson brothers. Always makes me laugh.
Should Beckham have made the England squad?
No, because he's not match fit. But I think watch him get himself back into that team because he never gives up. But, you know, I think he needed to have played some games. I think even he'll admit that.
And finally, what are you having for dinner tonight?
Probably a packet of ham, some nuts and an apple.
Very healthy. I have to just say,
I've
Tim,
covered all the food groups there.
Yeah. Before you go, Tim, you see the way you handle those aubergines?
Yeah.
See when you were indenting them?
Yeah.
Excellent job.
Did you like that?
You can tell you're good with your hands.
Hey, girls in Northern Ireland, look, I'm also good with my hands as well as being an Aries.
Feel free to come over anytime and join us in the studio for a live debate on feeling of aubergines. We've got a couple in the studio, actually. They're not aubergines, but they look quite like them, and you can work away.
Well, that sounds like a great offer.
Right, Tim Lovejoy, thank you so much for coming on the show. Good luck with everything with regards to Sports Relief. Hope a DVD sells really well because it is for charity.
Yeah.
And
it's good as well, though. You'll enjoy it. I promise you. If you buy it, you'll love it.
I will wait with bated breath to watch it. And I'm sure, knowing your wit and comic genius, it will be absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, something like that.
Thanks, Tim.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
Bye, Kirsty.
Tim Lovejoy, everybody. Now that is it for this week. Thank you to the legend that is Tim Lovejoy for being on the show, and thanks for listening. Check back regularly right here, coolfm.co.uk, for more podcasts, or should I say snodcasts. The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show is broadcast in real time weekday mornings 6 to 10 on Belfast's number one hit music station, 97.4 Cool FM.